This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Every place holds stories, stories of people who lived there, died there, or passed through at some point. And soprano Andrea Edith Moore wanted to explore the stories and secrets held in places around North Carolina, some real, some imagined, and some somewhere in between. She asked seven acclaimed Southern authors to write pieces about a family secret centered in a particular place in the house, like the pantry or the top of the stairs. And then she joined forces with composer Daniel Thomas Davis, who created a composition and performance blending these pieces of writing with media elements from a local photographer and a folk art collector. The production, Family Secrets, premieres this weekend at Hill Hall Auditorium on the campus of UNC Chapel Hill. And we are going to get a preview today. Joining me, soprano Andrea Edith Moore and composer Daniel Thomas Davis. Andrea, welcome back. Good to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Daniel, good to have you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
So tell us about the idea, Andrea, behind this project.
Well, your introduction was wonderful. I did have this idea that there are these wonderful places all around North Carolina that feel like they're full of energy, full of secrets, full of stories. And I feel so fortunate to have gotten to know personally through various readings and art events and my own singing, this wonderful group of authors, as well as Stephen Burke, a collector, and Elizabeth Matheson, photographer, to get to know them and think up, wow, these are people who have that sense of place. And what could we do to bring out in my world a musical exploration of just that, a sense of place with secrets, with so the prompt that I gave them was exactly as you said, think of a family secret of some sort, opening a Pandora's box that felt universal enough to give voice to different authors, but guided enough to put them in rooms and give it specificity of place.
And these authors are some fairly well-known figures.
Wonderful people. Jeffrey Beam, Alan Greganis, Francis Mays, Michael Malone, Randall Keenan, Lee Smith, and Daniel Wallace.
All well-known names and terrific writers, and we're proud to say North Carolinians are living here now.
Yes.
So, Daniel, let's talk about the process. Andrea's got the vision.
Indeed.
And then she gives the writers the prompt, and comes the time now where we've got to pull this together.
Right. So there was a prompt, and not too long after the prompt, there was a large stack of poetry and prose, unorganized stack, a wonderful, wonderful collection of poems and fiction and nonfiction. And the task fell upon me to make some musical and dramatic sense of all of this, to pull these seven stories together into one larger musical drama.
Of course, you've got a lot of options. You can mash them up and make one,
right.
or sort of keep them separate and string them together. What'd you do?
Well, you know, sometimes you have that there's the feeling that comes after the knowing. And I knew that these writers somehow knew each other. But then one day I was sitting at my desk and I felt that they knew each other in the text itself. And that the characters inhabited not just the same space, but shared lives, and were in various states of knowing.
It's fascinating to think about these writers who do know each other well. Most of them have been on this show talking about their work. The idea that you couldn't live in a place like this, particularly in North Carolina, be a writer and not somehow be influenced by your friends in this business. And to be in a project like this, it's kind of interesting to see how their characters live together.
Well, that's right. And some of the characters know each other very, very well. And some are more passing acquaintances, but they are sharing the same spaces. And the musical work that emerged from all of these texts was really it became a series of dramatic portraits. And some of those portraits are short, quick, fading snapshots, and others are larger, almost paintings, really meant for big public spaces.
Can you introduce just a couple of these characters for us to give us a feel?
Oh, of course, of course. We have one of the first characters is a young woman at the top of the stairs in a house who is not quite like everyone else. written by Lee Smith, and we never know her name, but we know that she's just a little bit off, and she has a great line in there that she sees through the dark like an owl or a person with special powers. there is a longer portrait in the text by Randall Keenan of a couple that leaves North Carolina as part of the Great Migration North earlier in the 20th century, and after some success comes back. It's a darker portrait about some of the impossibilities of homecoming, as well as the hopes and dreams of coming back
to a place that's near and dear. Exploring racial themes as well in that.
That's part of my reading. Yeah. There's at least an overtone in my reading of it of the impossibility of escaping some forms of violence in the South.
And I say that to point out the differences among these, because then Daniel Wallace, who of course just took us on a romp in some ways.
Oh, it is a romp. That is a great right? It's called The Pantry, right? There is a secret panel in the roof of the pantry, and it's very much a comical sketch. So there's quite a bit of humor here. There are darker turns. In that sense, I hope it's an invitation to dwell in the community in all of its joys and laughter, as well as in its histories, both dark and joyful.
Well, I think it's time to hear a little bit of a sample. Andrea, could you perform an excerpt for us and tell us what we're about to hear?
We'd be happy to. I'm joined by David Kirkland Gardner, who is playing banjo, on a piece called The Cemetery Song. The text is by Michael Malone. And it's a parent with their daughter visiting the tree and the grave of their lost other parent. Just to clarify, we have a full ensemble that will be performing with us on Sunday. So this is a slight reduction from what you will actually hear in concert with a large ensemble of 6 players and a narrator. But today we'll be playing Cemetery Song, banjo, and soprano.
Daughter, and I lie on the green grass. Your daughter and I under your tree. Above our heads, summer comes slowly. Our door.
That is soprano Andrea Edith Moore and musician David Kirkland Garner performing the song Cemetery from a new dramatic song cycle called Family Secrets will debut this weekend at UNC Chapel Hill's Hill Hall. It's a beautiful song, and I love the way you've integrated sort of the banjo with that vocal and allowed us to hear a banjo in a way that we have never heard before.
That's
and
right.
It comes together with the beautiful vocal. It's a very challenging work, and it sounded great.
Thank
but, Andrea, tell us about the themes now, the themes that you're exploring in that piece.
Well, there are some open ends in the piece. You know, what is this tree, and what is the history of the tree? And the themes that I feel, you know, are, of course, in one way, loss and bereavement, but also a chance for hope with this child coming and experiencing evolution of seasons. And one of the ways we support in the live performance these songs that I envisioned was to integrate Elizabeth Matheson's photography, who really, she has such a fantastic lens and viewpoint to bring out a sense of mystery, a sense of evocation in her photographs.
And give us a sample. Tell us a little bit about her photography and what we'll see.
Right. Well, in this one in particular, she does have a sort of cemetery scene. We've got several different images with these sweeping trees and seasonal changes. And so there's some literal reference, but within her pictures, you can really dive in and sort of explore all those questions yourself, I think. And, you know, as we go through other pieces in the China Berry Tree, for example, where this couple has built a log cabin, a show place somewhere that they want to retire, but all of this violence happens there. We have some images of emptiness of houses with a feeling that something is wrong. Mm-hmm. Around a corner shadow, a light on, different ways of illuminating those questions and those themes.
Yeah, well, we have, in fact, examples of those photos at our website, stateofthings.org. So there's music, there's vocalists, there's a narrator, there are photographs in the background, and then there's actually a kind of live community on stage.
Yes.
This from the collection of more than 1,000 tiny folk art structures from Stephen Burke. Stephen Burke calls them American folk art buildings. 30 of the structures are part of this weekend's performance of Family Secrets, and Stephen is here with us today. Stephen Burke, welcome to State of Things. Welcome.
Thank you. Americans have rendered their places in ever so many ways, through words, through music. From about the mid-19th century until about World War II, Americans rendered what we call American folk art buildings, the places of a real or imagined community. We have what is judged the nation's largest community. Picture with me an American community from those decades, and you can visualize what we have and what we will see. Familiar houses, white porches, white bungalows, Victorian two stories, Queen Anne, Art Deco.
And roughly how large are they? I mean, what were they made of?
They vary from 4 inches in length to 4 feet in length. They are three-dimensional. They're neither dollhouses or birdhouses. They tell the story of American architecture, and implicitly, they trigger expectations. What went on there? What takes place in that house? What will they tell us? Not just about the maker and about our community, but about some human history. Houses are places.
When did you start collecting these?
30 years ago.
And what attracted you to them? How did you first learn about them?
Buildings are compelling to me, both because they are place repositories and because they're often some of the best examples of our culture and our accomplishment.
So who was building these things? When did they? Because it kind of tailed off around World War II or just a little bit after. In other words, the construction, people were more or less stopped making these in big numbers. Is that right?
We know very little about the makers other than that they were earnest, imaginative, artful Americans, largely anonymous over a period of time. Some were made for specific reasons, to be brought out under Christmas trees, to note a cherished building about to be destroyed. But in the main, they are unknown and undocumented, and as such, they are full of mystery. And they then compel the stories that Andrea has wisely thought could enrich both the lyrics, the words, and Daniel's music.
We are telling family secrets today on The State of Things. Andrea Edith Moore is a soprano in the project who conceived this project. Daniel Thomas Davis is the composer. David Kirkland Garner's with us. He played banjo. And now we're talking to Stephen Berg, a collector of American folk art buildings. How many do you have?
About 1,200. Let's note that as being full passion, not active psychosis.
Because you actually built an extension to the house you actually live in to house these houses.
We have their house, both in our house and in some contiguous fanciful garden buildings. Big renderings of imagination filled with small renderings.
Andrea, when did you first find out about these, and when did it occur to you that this is a must for your production?
One Easter, I would say about 8 years ago, I was fortunate enough to come over to Stephen and Randy's home with my parents, and immediately I was struck with awe and wonder and excitement when I walked in and experienced the collection as they've had it displayed. I like to say the other collection are the columns upon which all of these structures are mounted and displayed, because that's another example of all the architectural variants in their collection. But it dawned on me as an opera singer and as someone who comes from a stage background that works with opera isn't called a multimedia collaboration, but it is. It's costume, it's design, it's orchestra, etc. And art song, another genre which I perform quite a lot, recitals, generally leaves that those visual elements out. And when I embarked upon this project, it was meant to be a literary celebration, really an art song composition. And then all of the themes just generated this visual sense. And I thought, there's no way I can eliminate doing this without the visual if Stephen, if Elizabeth and everyone are willing to participate. And everybody's been so generous with their time and their creativity and their interests.
Well, Stephen, tell us a bit about the houses you chose for this performance. What do they look like and what stories do they tell?
Because these buildings were mostly rendered in the late 19th and early 20th century, they are appropriate evocations of the kind of narrative and the kind of myth and the kind of storytelling that we've gained in this process. We will have some houses very familiar to all of us. We will have some churches, a couple of stores, some fanciful buildings of different sizes, some illuminated, all designed to enrich the impact of what we hear musically from Andrea and from Daniel and from the ensemble.
So, Andrea, let me ask you, I've only got about 30 seconds left, but what do you hope the audience takes away from this performance?
Oh, I hope that they celebrate everything that North Carolina has to offer, because every single person participating in this huge creative endeavor hails from or lives in North Carolina. And it truly was about that for myself, because I am from here and hope that we carry that with us.
Great stuff. Thank you all for being on the program. Soprano Andrea Edith Moore, composer Daniel Thomas Davis is with us as well. David Kirkland Garner and Stephen Berg all joined us. Stephen Berg talks about his collection of American folk art buildings. All of my guests, part of the performance and song cycle, Family Secrets, on stage Sunday, 7:30, Hill Hall Auditorium, UNC Chapel Hill. You can find out details, see some of the photos at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we'll talk with Ari Picker from Lost in the Trees about his latest project. Stay tuned.